Sup, cousin? Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. My name is not actually Coco. That's not the name my mother gave me, but that's the name you can call me. today, cousin, so we got some stuff going on today. So we know that we are exploring the classic elements as they relate to hoodoo spiritual practices. Classic elements being water, air, fire, and earth. The fifth element is always spirit, but the whole podcast is about spiritual journey. So if you need to hear about spirit, go click on any of the previous 50-some episodes and you can hear about some spirit. We did water in the episode Spiritual Baths, and I literally just finished editing the episode on air. That episode's called Thoughts and Prayers. I thought that was funny. Today we are going to explore the earth element. As a hoodoo spiritualist, when we think earth, we think herbs and roots. Our folk magic is literally called root work, after all. And when I think herbs and roots, I think of my mama. So to join us on this episode, I've invited my mama, your auntie, to help us break down some of the best practices of urban gardening. Everyone say, hey, auntie. I'm going to say, welcome back, mom. Hello, mom.
Hello.
Ma, would you like to introduce yourself? And can you tell us a little bit about your spiritual life? Just so we have a baseline for anyone new listening.
Okay. I'm your mother. I haven't been your mother for a long time.
36 years.
You say I have a spiritual life.
You do.
Your father says I'm a witch, which I don't think of myself as such. I think of you and your sister as doing the woo practice. Some things I will do, some things I don't do.
So, like, I'll be like, Ma, come with me to this witch gathering.
No, not doing that.
But then you'll go, but while you're there, can you pick me up?
Some sage, some this, some time, some this. Yes, I will.
Yeah.
I've been known to wear spiritual amulets.
Mm-hmm.
I've been known, I will say a prayer, and I'm putting that in quotation marks. Because your prayer mm-hmm. is not the same as my prayer.
Yeah, true.
I have been known to, as you say, put a, not a hex,
yo,
but
you,
I just curse somebody.
Yeah, to their face. I've seen you do
okay.
it.
If you deserve it, you deserve it.
So funny. If I dress a candle for you, you'll burn it.
Yeah, I will even dress my own candle. Mm-hmm. I can do that. I feel comfortable with doing that.
Mm-hmm. But you are not a hoodoo.
No. I think of myself as being
mm-hmm.
at peace with nature. I'm going to put it that way.
Oh, I love that.
I love all things that are of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
All things that are of the air.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that all things, plants,
mm-hmm.
flowers, herbs, even the sun and the soil in your hands can give you strength and give you peace.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks, Mom. I always ask anyone coming on, like, what's your spiritual practice? Even though you've had a whole episode where you talked about, you know, in depth more of your spiritual life and how you navigated life to your age now. But I always ask because I think when people think hoodoo or spiritual journeys, they think that this everything is the same. Or we all call ourselves the same thing. And it's definitely not.
I think of myself as being in the middle between you and your sister.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle.
I personally would even say you are in between like grandma's strong Christian faith with some mystic stuff on the side because, you know, she believes in her miracles. She believes in her anointings and the demon casting. She believes in all that. I've literally seen her do a removal on your brother.
Oh,
I've seen her do it.
If I need an anointing person, oh, I'm calling her.
Right.
She my first. Now, see, before it used to be my grandmother Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if your grandmother whip out some oil, she can anoint me all day long.
In the previous episode, Thoughts and Prayers, I was talking about the air element in hoodoo and how it's about what you put out into the world.
Right.
Also, what you say to yourself.
Right.
And that those two things, the air element is in your thoughts and then you speaking those things right. over yourself or right. out into the world.
Right.
And I said, you know, I don't even believe in the same things grandma believe in. But when I was getting ready to go into surgery, when she speaks, she's heard. You know, I was like, let me go over there and have her rub me down and speak over me. Well, yes. Okay. So Matt, you, like I said, you've been on the show before. Your episode is titled Daughter of a Saint, Mother of Witches, which we were just talking about. So cousin, if you are new here, and there are a lot of new cousins here since that last time that it's not like I've got 10,000 followers. I'm still like less than 500, but there's a lot of new people here. So cousins, if you're new here and you want to get to know your auntie a little bit better, I suggest you go back and listen to that episode. If you're listening on YouTube, I'll make sure to add that in the end card. I thought, Mom, I would read to you a comment that was left on your YouTube video.
Okay.
So this is a recent one. This was like from 3 months ago. This was left by our cousin Elodie. And she said, I know, there's nothing more powerful than a mother's blessing. I know a million stories of times where I've stood under my grand's and my mom's and my ancestors' blessings. I'm still here by the grace of these women's blessings.
Okay.
And that was in response to you talking about your grandmother Ellen, which is the one I met, but your grandmother Bert, who when you were at your worst, that was the voice you heard in your head.
Always the voice that I hear in my head whenever I'm doing anything. And then I'm noticing I'm not only hearing her voice, but I'm seeing, because I'm trying to find out who my great grandmother was.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently nobody knows any information about her. But I'm starting to feel a connection to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hear her voice necessarily because I don't know her voice. She passed away long before I came along. But I'm starting to think of myself in the terms of being of her.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Of her.
Yeah. Apparently she was a strong, not too spiritual woman, but she was strong and she did things that were supposedly impossible back in her day.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're talking about the earth element today. We're being like literal by talking about herbs and plants, but in hoodoo it's also about your roots, like the roots that put you mm-hmm. on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is also very much attached to the earth element and what grounds you into the reality that we walk through every day. And I feel like a lot of that is definitely, you know, who came before us and the lessons they learned and then those lessons being passed down.
Right.
Person to person. Because we're different people, we may filter those lessons differently.
Right.
But it's definitely still like knowing who you came from. Even if you're adopted or, you know, it's not conventional, the people in your life, the right. people who shaped the people in their lives, right. those are what roots us on this earth.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be family. It could be people that you just knew or somebody that inspired you or just someone. It could be just someone that you were sitting somewhere and you just started having a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation may have made you bring out something in yourself that you didn't even know was there. And that person, you may never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't always have to be family. But I'm noticing as I get older, and I know you wouldn't agree, I'm getting bolder.
Yes, we start living louder.
I'm getting bold. I'm not obnoxious.
No. No.
But I'm not tapping it down. And I'm taking that as being not my mother's family, mm-hmm. who are the people that actually raised me.
Yeah.
I'm taking that as the other side, my father's side of the family, where my grandmother Bird came from.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the women that I think mm-hmm. I'm more like. Even though on the other side, there's some spectacular women over there.
Yes.
That's spectacular. But I'm taking it more as I'm becoming more of the other side.
Pistol in your apron.
Hey.
Try me if you want to.
Hey, try me. Try me. I'll call you out.
I know that. I know that feeling. We are. I feel like we're living Boulder. Mm-hmm. And you go out, you got like this huge group of girlfriends you go out with. You went ziplining with your grandson.
All fantastic. And the thing with that is my group of friends that I have now, I used to always say I didn't have girlfriends.
Yeah, like close
girlfriends. I didn't do girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
But they kept pulling me in.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm embracing them. And I'm thankful that they kept holding me and made me come in.
Mm-hmm.
And now every time they say, oh, let's do this or let's go, I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready. Just tell me when.
You want to go out to Deep Creek and drink mimosas all day? Sure, I can do that.
I can do that.
Because why not? You're even bright. Like, I usually I'm the one in bright colors. You're in very bright colors today, and I love it.
Hey, I got a new color. See, a new color palette.
I had to say, that yellow looks good on you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get back to roots. Well, we weren't talking about roots, that's things still, that root us.
To me, that's mm-hmm. still, my, like I said, I know my mother's roots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know my father's roots
mm-hmm.
as much. And the one person that I would love to have met and love to know her roots, it's like I'm doing the ancestry thing, trying to pull out information.
Yeah, the story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the one person who was left who could have told you, he passed.
Yeah, he passed. But you know what? I'm coming to realize I don't think he knew either.
Mm.
Or he did not know as much. One time I used to think he was just embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the kind of person he was, even though I wasn't embarrassed. I thought it was all interesting. I thought it was like, oh, okay, I got a little fun little click.
Right.
I don't have the religious woohoo people. I have the, oh, okay, they a little bit fun over on the other side.
Just a smidge fun.
Yeah, just a little smidge fun.
So, okay, let's get us into the conversation about urban gardening, because that's why you're here. I think that you are one of the most proficient urban gardeners I've had a chance to be around. And I've met some other people. Like when I go out to the witch stuff and I go out to, you know, the farms and stuff, people will tell me and I'm looking and I'm like, this is cool, but you should see my mom's plot. You know what I mean?
That's what I have, a little small little plot.
You're growing seedlings in like the darkest room possible. I don't know what kind of touch you got, but I literally came over one day and you were like, these are my little seedlings. And I'm looking, I'm like, there's no light in this room. You got your blinds shut. Even if the blinds was open, there's a big azalea bush right in front of the window. And yet I come back, a couple weeks later and they sprouting. I was like, what kind of hoodoo she working over there?
I'm not doing hoodoo.
That she growing plants with light.
I'm just talking and just saying, okay, come on. And mainly it's trial and error.
A lot of, yeah.
It's trial and error.
Trial and error.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll just try something different.
I love that. So tell me, Mom, what got you into gardening and why do you continue to do it?
I got into gardening because, and this goes back to the other conversation we had, where I was at a low point. And I needed something to bring me peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the front of our house, it just was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that instead of having rocks and just looking sort of sad, let me see what I can do. I just wanted to be outside.
Gotcha. So it was about like, I walk home and this looks dull and lifeless. And I need to feel good outside.
It also was the front of the house reminded me of me inside.
Oof.
So
my.
I was like, and it's the truth.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of things that I did not realize then that I realize now.
Yes.
It does not make me sad.
Mm-hmm. But look, you say as I'm reaching for the tissues.
It just reminds me of how far I've come.
Yeah.
What I've been through.
Right.
And that I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I remember that, oh, I can do anything. Yeah, I can do that zip line. I can go out with them friends. I can drive to 2, 3, 4 hours away by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can, okay, why can't I be bright? I don't right. want attention being bright. But anyway, let's get back to that. It reminded me of what I was inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my thought was, if I could bring that back, that's my peace. That's my oasis. Because when I'm out in the garden, I got my headphones on or my AirPods on, and I'm not listening to music. I am literally listening to an audiobook. And you know my audiobooks. They're not the, oh, Sally loves John. They're the, okay, he came in shooting. It's a mystery. You got to find. That's what I'm listening to when I'm gardening.
If someone asked me, what are your mother's, like, 3 points of foundation? Because I feel like we all have 3 or 4 points of foundation. I would say her spiritual life, not just the, you know, what we talked about before, but like you getting into Joel Osteen and kind of gathering yourself every morning, that's a point of foundation for you. Your second point of foundation is definitely gardening. I see that. I felt that a long time ago, and I see it now because you get so excited. And it goes with you even during the months where you cannot be outside. It's crazy to see. And then your third point of foundation, even as a child, I understood, was reading. Mm-hmm. Things that keep you, like, balanced out. Reading. Because you're right. You even the romance novels you read are like, it's a murder mystery. Yeah. Somebody died 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Strong female characters, yeah. Or you listening to the, oh my God, what was her name? Nora Roberts, or
I still listen to Nora Roberts. Mm-hmm. I listen to her as
JD Rob.
Mm-hmm. I do Catherine Coulter. I do some of the guys. I do Clive Cluster. Clusler, I know one probably knows what that is.
Right.
But that's the Dirk Pitt, Juan Cabrillo, where they're out there just like pirates on the ocean kind of thing, but it's a mystery and yeah. they're trying to save the world. That's what I'm listening to as I am gardening.
That's that's wild.
It's not wild. Because you would think that I wouldn't know what's going on.
No, you know.
But I did.
Because this is what I was telling Big Sis. A cousin, if you're new, my Big Sis is her daughter. Like, we're actually all related. But I was telling Big Sis when she told me that she can't meditate. It was a lot like years ago. Now she got a full meditation practice, right? But I was like, I think what you think meditating is isn't what it is.
No.
Meditation sometimes it's just letting your thoughts
drift away.
Yeah, just drift past you. Observing that and then letting it go. Sometimes it's just contemplating.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just hands in the soil,
mm-hmm.
concentrating on what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
listening to an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just allowing your mind 10 minutes of peace.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just sitting there and just being quiet.
Child,
no TV, no music. Know anything. You're just literally just sitting there in a peaceful environment.
Last night, this has nothing to do, we'll get back to garden in a second, but last night I was editing the episode for Thoughts and Prayers, and at the, it's not out yet, but I'm gonna tell you, at the end of the video I reviewed these two pastors and their testimony, and to them it's a testimony of how you know, they, God brought them through. To make a long story very short, they got married very young.
They usually do.
And he was abusive. But he told her that to her face before they got married.
Because that's the way most religions are, is that the husband is the head of the house and the wife should follow and has no say.
Well, she, I mean, it drove her crazy.
Well, it would drive any self-respecting person.
But that's, you would think, right? So a part of her was self-respecting, but that was underneath. Because on top, she literally said out her mouth, she would forgive any infidelity. Because that was, her mother didn't do that to her father. And that kind of broke their home and made them a home of divorce. But that was
stupid.
Ma, I'm telling you all this to say that I also listen to a lot of crazy stuff. A lot crazier than that testimony. But to hear them sit there and giggle and laugh while also recounting the story of abuse that they never actually unpacked, and they're still giving ministry from that place. Mm-hmm. I had to sit in my chair and for like 10-15 minutes I just stared at a wall.
those types of people, and I've noticed now, and I'm going to credit you with this because, like I said, I don't do hoodoo like you do. I don't do some of the practices like your sister does. But one thing, as I'm on my own journey, I don't like shaking hands with certain people.
Because their roots ain't right.
Yeah. If I feel your, you call it a spirit, I'm going to call it a spirit / and or vibe.
Your vibe. Your vibes ain't right.
Don't shake my hand. If you shake my hand, I'm going to find the nearest oil and start rubbing it over me. Because that kind of spirit, I don't want any of
that like
in me. That's being a hypocrite. And I refuse to be a hypocrite.
I would send you the whole
no,
thing.
I don't.
Exactly. But no, I was like, no, shit.
I'm not messing up my spirit.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. I told Big Sis. I said, Big Sis, I'm going to do this episode on thoughts and prayers. And I really want to talk about the thought process that these people are going through, that they're showing us, and why it's so hard to imbibe. And the stories we tell ourselves, even in moments of abuse, that 30 years later, we're still telling ourselves and holding ourselves down. And so internally, your roots ain't right. And then get surprised, because when they left that echo chamber of their church, the rest of the world said, do you hear yourself?
Well, and the thing that gets me with that is, if the roles were reversed,
yeah,
and the wife was the one that had the constant affairs, you know what would happen to her? It wouldn't be, oh, I'll just forgive you. To me, never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to gardening.
Let's go back to gardening.
We're getting ready to get off topic, and I'm getting ready to have my spirit.
We say all of that to say that when we garden, I think, to sum it up, because I do the same thing when I'm talking to my plants outside or you're in your garden, it's a moment to gather your spirit up, recharge your
yeah,
life.
Plus, it's like, you know how much, think of somebody that's just had a baby,
mm-hmm,
and you're watching that baby grow. Think of, that's my thought process. I got something that's just a little seed. And then I can plant it and I can watch it grow. And from that seed, I can feed and nourish myself. Oh my God. And then the tastes are different.
Oh yeah, from like,
yeah, it doesn't take, it gives your food or whatever you put it on it, you give it a different taste. Even when I do sage in my garden and I cut it and I bundle it up, it smells different than the sage that you get for me out of even a wood store. And I'm not saying that sage is not good sage.
Mm.
I'm just saying that the smell and of the sage that I just took out of my garden is a totally different thing. And then I say, I did that.
Yeah, you did that.
Yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I can take credit for that.
Yeah.
And it's a total different feeling about it.
Yeah. You like, I was trying to explain this to somebody else too, and you hit the nail on the head. It's like you're nurturing this spirit in your hands.
Yeah.
I mean, someone else could have came by and done this nurturing too, or if you've thrown them seeds out into a field, some of them might have grown. But this idea that like you are nurturing this thing, you're talking to it, you're loving it, you're giving it nutrients and water and making sure it's getting enough sun, like you're really nurturing it. And then what it gives back to you.
Yeah.
Like it's like you can't quite quantify. Like you said, it tastes different, it smells different, but it's a different thing. So what kind of, you said sage, what things are you growing in your garden?
I do vegetables. Like? I have done some fruit. Now, don't get me wrong. I have done some horrible tanks. I tried to do cabbage one time.
You ain't
had.
And
my mother just shot me down on my cabbage.
It didn't come to a head.
No, I think because I didn't give it, but I know what I did wrong.
I needed more space.
I tried to do Brussels sprouts. They came out, but the same thing. I did not give it enough space, and your grandmother let me know that.
She gonna let you know.
Oh, yes. She gonna let me know when I do something wrong. But the things that, there's two different sets. I like to do vegetables, the cucumbers, the tomatoes. As a matter of fact, I was mad last year because my cucumbers I didn't get the same haul as I normally would.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened, but I didn't. So I usually do like a pickled cucumbers. Well, I didn't have enough to do it last year.
Right.
So I didn't have anything left. My tomatoes came out. I cook with my tomato. I make a tomato puree, my version of the tomato puree. And every time I cook with them, your father's like, oh, would you use that canned sauce or that bottle of spaghetti? No, that was mine.
No, that's
that
real stuff.
That's
the real stuff. You picked that. Stuff. You picked that out yesterday.
Yeah. he likes okra, and I do too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the thrill of seeing your okra come out,
mm-hmm.
going out and just cutting off what you want to cook, coming in and cooking them, and then sitting down and eating them. Oh my God, that's just pure joy. Pure joy. If I could be a farmer, not a big time farmer, but I could do farm stuff. Kill animals? Nah.
No, you're not down with the animal husbandry. That's where you draw the line on your homestead.
I would have to make a deal with another farmer that they would cut the stuff and I would do the vegetables and stuff. But so I do the okras, the tomatoes,
the cucumbers.
I have tried, like I said, Brussels sprouts and cauliflower and cabbage, that kind of thing. But mainly it's and every year I'll try one new vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Like I told you, this year I think I'm gonna try spring onions.
Mm-hmm.
I tried potatoes, but I don't have the patience for.
But to say potatoes are kind of a wintry root, and you know and it's a root. It's not the but it's an actual root.
Right.
Same with carrots, it's the root.
And
you don't
carrots.
Know you don't know if it's right until it's, you gotta literally wait until the
right.
above ground is
right.
dead.
And then
pray
that you got it right.
Yeah, that you got it right.
Yeah. And I apparently don't have the patience for that.
I'm gonna try that later towards the fall. I'm gonna try potatoes.
So
it's gonna be hard because the squirrels keep digging in my pots. But that leads me to the next question. What is your preferred method of gardening? Because when I say urban gardening, I mean that literally. You live in the city, in a townhouse, what they call them townhouses now, but we call them row homes. Yeah. And you got a backyard, but it's not like it's a sprawling backyard. You know, you got like some nice patches of grass. We can host a whole family over there, but it's not like this huge patch. So a lot of times when people think gardening, they think in the ground. But that's not what we do.
But you know what? I did strawberries about 2 years ago, and I did them in the pot.
Yeah, you do pot gardening.
Because I do pot gardening. And what ended up happening is you have to pay attention with strawberries.
And cucumbers.
And cucumbers, because they will Rome.
Yeah.
And they will attach themselves. See, strawberries attach themselves not to other plants or whatever, like cucumbers will.
Mm-hmm.
Strawberries literally find their way to the ground.
Yeah.
So I saw, not last year, but the year before, where the vines were starting to come out of my pot and were attaching themselves in the ground around where I had
mm-hmm.
all of my other pots. And normally what I would have done is pulled them up
yeah.
to kill them. And I said, no, I want to see what's going to happen.
Right.
So I have these strawberry vines in some spots, and I have pots.
different things.
And the first year, I got maybe one or two little baby strawberries.
Yeah.
They were sweet, but one or two didn't grow that much. Last year, I got what was in the pot and what was in the ground. And they were both sweet. I still didn't get a lot, but I got enough to make like a little carton of strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
This year, I'm noticing that. Now, remember, I don't cover anything. I leave my netting up so nothing can get into my garden. But I don't till the soil. I don't rake out stuff. I don't do any of that. So the even your father said, you sure those strawberries are going to come back? Because I leave them in the pot. I leave them in the ground. Just like I leave my thyme plants in the pot.
Yeah, same with mint.
Mint.
That mint plant right there, I thought it was dead because when I moved,
but it comes back.
It came back. You saw how big it is.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So I don't, so all went along. It looks like it's dead. And then I go to clean out everything. And if all was gone, you're not going to clean that out. No. They're just wait a little while. Sure enough, I go to water them and they come back. Well, now they got the little white flowers on it. And it's a lot.
Oh, so you have a lot of strawberries.
Like I'm going to have a lot of strawberries.
You know what? Okay, so when we talk about urban gardening again, so you started first and then I followed behind you with the pot method. So we literally have plants and pots on
growing
our
in different sizes. Pots.
Me from my balcony, you literally outside in your garden, in your back, in your front, you have it in the ground.
I have flowers.
Yeah, but in the back is where you do your vegetables and your herbs. And I remember the first time I was growing tomatoes, little cherry tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why does this plant got all these yellow flowers all over it? Then I go on YouTube and they were like, okay, so if you have yellow flowers, that's a good sign because the flowers turn into the tomato. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
This little, my little silly city slicker kid that I am. I was like, excuse me? It does what now?
Imagine the okra plant.
Yeah.
When you see the okra plant, it grows up. It's a flower. It's the prettiest white flower
mm-hmm.
you've ever seen. And you think, okay, so what's going
the okra?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, that pretty white flower
just
drops
dies.
Off.
Yeah.
It just literally drops off and dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, did it die?
Is it not kill it?
Right. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you see the okra. And with okra, you have to harvest it at the right point. You don't want it too small.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to get too big. If you get it too big, it's tough.
And stringy.
And stringy. And you can't eat it. If it's too small, it's not big enough for you to harvest yet. I learned that by trial and error.
By trial and error. But a lot of that, too, we were talking about, if I could quantify it in a spiritual way, is you have to let the plant do its thing.
Do its thing.
You have to let the spirit of that plant, like you have to just know that plant has been planting since plants have planted. Uh-huh. So all you got to do is just nourish it, give it some love, give it attention, make sure it gets the sun it needs, and then it'll do what it's supposed to do. And I go back to that strawberries. Like you said, I think anybody would have been like, let me take these off the ground.
Yeah.
But you were like, well, if this is what the strawberry wants to do.
Yeah, because
yeah, if this is what it wants to do, then let's see what happens if it does that.
Let me see
yeah.
what happens.
Let's see what happens if it does that. Yeah.
And then you got to remember, in your garden, just like with anything there is, you got to be careful with the bees or the pests, I call them,
mm-hmm.
the worms. And one season I had ants. The ants were killing my dill plant. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where are these ants coming from?
Child.
So then I'm fighting to save the dill. I'm fighting not to kill the ants, but Lord forgive me, I had put my little ant bait things out there mm-hmm. because I said, if it's between the ants
and the dill,
the ants gotta go.
You know what I've been doing? And you go outside. I was because I wanted to show you the plants I got. So when I moved here, you saw when I moved here, there was a bunch of spider webs.
Yeah.
And they're even in my old place.
And you need the bees and the spiders and the ants. But the spiders can take out stuff.
But I said, you gotta be careful with that. But I let a couple of the spider webs stay up because I know that they're posting up near my plants because of the pests coming
right.
in. So they're trying to eat those up. But also, like, you know, Anansi can't stay for so long because I don't want you in my plants either.
Right.
Yeah, so like, you gotta kind of find that natural balance. And then you do organic gardening. Mm-hmm. So you have like organic soils that you use, but also like instead of getting some pesticides, we're using neem oil.
I do the neem oil, and believe it or not, you can do a baking soda or it's a recipe that has some kind of vinegar in it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't try to use vinegar. You got to be careful
with the
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even the baking soda
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to harm your
the integrity
of your plants.
Yeah, their roots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because your plants are going to taste like whatever you put in that soil.
And you
don't want that coming. That's just like with people. Whatever you put in that person, don't be surprised when that comes out.
Come back out. Exactly. That's their root.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel that. So what was your favorite thing to grow, Ma?
That's a good question. I was excited about the okra and the cucumbers. I love growing tomatoes. And I know one season, me and those tomato plants, I made the mistake of putting two plants in one big barrel. one plant tried to kill the other plant.
Yeah.
So then I had to go in, fight with this big barrel, and trying to find the root part so I could gently separate the two to put one in another pot. And I did. I was cussing and fussing the whole way.
The whole time.
But once I separated it and I put one into another pot,
mm-hmm.
then I had to start talking to it because it looked like I had traumatized it. And it looked like, okay, since you won't do that, I'm not going to grow. And it took me a while to say, come on now. You know, I didn't traumatize you. You was killing the other one over there. So come on. So if I have to say a favorite, it's a favorite plant, fruit, and vegetable. It's the tomato.
Mm-hmm.
The herbs. It's the basil because the basil smells so good.
So good.
And they're not hard to grow.
I can kill a basil plant so fast. I don't know what it is about me and basil, but she do not want to grow with me, child.
I like the basil because it smells good. Now, mint, you don't have to do that much to mint.
I was every time on this podcast we talk about mint, I always tell people in a spiritual way, planting mint near your door is a protective.
Okay.
You can also use mint to like in money work, like if you're trying to grow your money.
Okay.
Makes sense, doesn't it? When you know how mint grows,
mint.
Yeah, you can use it to grow money, but most of the time it's used for like protection and cleansing work. You put mint in the ground, you'll never grow anything else in that ground.
It's just
going to take over.
It'll
just take over. You have to have a pot. And then what people don't understand is that when we say mint, they're thinking of peppermint. But when we say mint, we're talking about any mint plant.
spearmint, chocolate mint,
the orange mint, the cat mint.
Anything.
Catnip is the same way as a mint plant. It'll just completely take over if you don't pay attention.
And it will kill any other herb that you have that's in near it. Mm-hmm. It will just strangle it and then keep right on growing.
Exactly. Mint is my favorite, though. I think it's my favorite because it's reliable. I know, even when I thought that plant was dead, I know that next year it's going to be back in that pot. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you noticed, I put it in a bigger pot.
Yeah. Because you do have to put it
in a pot. Yeah, I put it in a bigger pot. Because I'm thinking to myself, I've had the same mint plant, I think, this is my fourth year in a row with this mint plant. Let me.
You got to give it room.
Give it some room, you know. I would already like add nutrients to the soil again, because people don't think about that. When it's in a pot, your soil doesn't replenish nutrients.
No.
So like you said, you leave it uncovered. So the birds are coming by, they in the pot, you know, snow is getting in
water,
there. Worms are coming about the ground going in the pot. So you give it a chance to kind of replenish. And then you like turn it up a little bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Add some new soil if you have to, add some new food if you have to, etc. But I was like, it's been the same pot for 4 years. Let me get the new pot.
Now I have a lemon thyme plant. That's the oldest herb that I have. Every year, that comes back, and it comes back strong. As a matter of fact, I have to repot that again because the bigger pot that I put it in is now too small.
It's too small.
Every year.
It's got to go into a bigger pot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are some new techniques you were talking about utilizing? We already talked about, we both talked to our plants. I feel like people think that that's, either they think it's woo-woo or they think it's weird, but any gardener talks to their plants.
You should talk to them.
You got to. You got to let them know. Hey, you're doing great.
to me, they're your children.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you wouldn't talk to your kids growing up. You wouldn't. I'd be out there like, you know what? Come on, y'all. I had gotten a little stick. Now, this was I love to experiment with stuff. And I go to Lowe's sometimes, and I go to the clearance section.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have tags on what it is. Sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
And I bought this little stick. Did not have a stick on it. I had no clue what it was.
Right.
And I just said, oh, it's 50 cents. Let me just bring it back and I'm going to see what it is.
Right.
I planted it in the front of the house because I was thinking it's got to be some kind of flower.
Right. Flowers in the front. Vegetables and herbs in the back.
Right, and then I do flowers and pots and stuff in the back.
And we'll talk about why that is in a second.
I do that. But in the front, it's mainly just like the azalea bushes, the rose bushes, and flowers that come back every year. And then I put in a couple flowers that I know are going to die. But I try to have it so that the front of the house is literally have color and blooming different things all season long.
Right.
Okay. I planted that one little stick in the front where I thought that it was going to be this real, you know, experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is. It's a tree.
It's a freaking tree.
Every year, me and that tree.
You fight because you put it where a bush would go.
Yeah, where a bush would go. And when I tried to take it out of the soil.
You can't. It's rooted.
The trunk is so thick.
It's rooted.
The roots, I'm hacking at it and hacking at it. And she still comes back every year.
Yeah.
So right at the edge where the railing is to walk up the steps,
yep.
I'm constantly cutting it back because it's constantly,
yep.
It's huge.
It's huge. You have a whole tree in your flower garden.
I have a tree. And you know what? Your father gets pissed. I just laugh because it was a little stick.
You talked to her. You told her, hey, listen, you can be great.
Yeah, but
you're going to do fine. We got you.
Yeah, but I didn't know it was going to be.
I was at Lowe's. I was there looking for pots and looking for soil. And when I was walking outside, y'all don't judge me. They had plants in the trash.
Oh, I've gotten them out of the trash.
And on the corner, like on the floor, was a little piece of a snake plant.
Okay.
Little tiny little snake plant piece. And I was like, oh man. My best friend Bestie was with me. And she was like, oh, we can call him Harold. I picked up the snake plant leaf and I literally put it in my purse. Yes, that's right. I stole a snake plant.
It was in the trash.
Right. So I came home. You see that plant right there? Mm-hmm. See how tall it is? That's Harold. The smaller one is the original Harold.
That's what I'm
Everybody
saying.
Else is like Harold Jr., Harold the Third. Yeah. Snake plants are easy to grow. Mm-hmm. They require minimal light and you just gotta let it go completely dry in the soil and then grow it again. And they're very sturdy plants. But I just talked to it. I was like, hey, it's gonna be all right. I got you.
Yeah, that's what I said to the little stick before I found out it was a freaking tree.
It's a tree.
And then I can't hack at it. I can't pull it off. I can't get to the roots. Nothing.
that answers the question, what lessons have you learned? A, make sure you know what you plant before you plant it. But what we were talking about techniques. We talked about plants, but you were also talking about dual planting, like planting things together, because together they can take care of each other.
Yeah, you have there's a lot of plants that you can plant together. I found out that you can take a tomato plant. Now this is all like it's well you can do it in the ground too if you have enough room to do it in the ground. But when I'm talking about potting and pots. A tomato plant. You plant a tomato plant.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally plant basil around it. The basil will keep the tomato plant and rich in nutrients, and the tomato plant helps the basil plant. So you get more basil, and the tomato plant will taste differently.
Mm.
That way, I went on Google, and what you do is you Google companion plants.
Companion plants,
and you might not necessarily always plant them in the same pot. But if you plant the pots near each other,
mm-hmm.
they're feeding off of each other.
Or and if you had like a garden bed. Because
yeah,
I think the way that your garden is growing at a certain point, I keep waiting for you to go, come over here and help me build a garden bed.
I was going to.
I keep waiting for it.
But I keep cheating on the space. Like I told you, I moved my bricks, my borderline a little bit.
A little further
see
out.
If your father was going to notice. And he ain't noticed. He hasn't noticed.
He won't notice until it's way further out. He don't notice.
I keep saying I'm not going to do that. I do have a lot of pots. But you have to pay attention to what you're planting stuff near.
Yeah.
And you just do research. Research, and like I said, it's trial and error.
Yeah.
My neighbor two houses up from me, I saw her and she was like, you haven't planted anything yet, and everybody's always asking me what I use, and I said I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm just going by trial and error. And they were like, no, everything you do is so pretty, you look like you know what you're doing. And I have given my neighbors different, like cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff out of the garden, and they will use but when I give them stuff, I'll say, wash it this way.
Yeah.
Use it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to use it all together, dry it out this way, and then you can store it in jars, which you fix your father out.
Because you store it in little witch bottles.
I don't think they're witch bottles. They're just glass jars. Or either I freaked out one neighbor because I cook with olive oil.
Mm.
And the best thing to do to save your herbs is to get like a friggin' ice cube tray. You sprinkle some of whatever dry herb that you have, and you pour the olive oil in it. And me, you know, I gotta do extra. I put kosher salt, and little whatever I intend on cooking, just a little, no pepper, but kosher salt in it. And then you freeze it. You put plastic wrap on top of it. You put it in the freezer, and then you literally take out the cubes of olive oil. So now you got olive oil and herbs in it with the kosher salt. So when I go to cook and the recipe calls for olive oil, I throw that in my pan.
Mm.
And as it's melting, then I got the herbs in there. And that's layering it.
I did something similar. I didn't freeze it, but At the end of last year, you know, my plants had a hard time because I moved and they don't get the same kind of sun. Mm. But I had a nice rosemary bush and I was trying to like snip off as much as I could save to harvest. And I cleaned that up real good. I did dry it out. Mm-hmm. And then I added that to a bottle of olive oil.
Ooh, okay.
So, and I just let it sit. Because, you know, olive oil bottles, unless you're getting it out of Aldi and it's the cheap oil, when you get the good oil, mm-hmm. it comes in a dark bottle.
Yeah.
The reason why it comes in a dark bottle is because mm-hmm. it, so the sunlight won't get right. in and turn right.
And that's
turn
the
it.
Best bottle. Mm-hmm. Just if you get finished, just clean. I don't even clean. And I know I shouldn't. I take other olive oil.
And just pour some oil in there.
And then put my herbs in there.
I do that too. And shake it up. So, yeah, because I said to myself, that's how you make anointing oils too, right? Mm, okay. Is you take your resins or your whatever. You saw me do it. We were on a call for the family reunion this year. You and I were on our family reunion committee. And I came home and I was like, well, while I'm talking to them, I can make some hair oil.
I saw what you were doing.
And make some rosemary oil. I don't think they know, but I had my mortar and pestle out. I was pouring oils. So I was like, if I can do that to make anointing oil and I can do that to make hair and body oil, why am I not doing that to cook with?
That's what I mean.
Usually when you think of herbs, you think eat. You know what I mean? Like it's time to eat something. So I did. I took it and I put it in there. Even now, if you go over to, I don't cook with a lot of oil anymore because, you know, it's not good for my stomach. But when I want a flavor,
that's
a little catful, put it in the pot and it's got rosemary, salt, and garlic.
Yeah.
Infused oils. Mm-hmm. We're not saying nothing that revolutionary because you can go to the grocery store and buy a bottle of infused oils.
Go to the grocery store and buy infused and pay what $30-some now, which probably be even more later on.
Yeah, because it tears.
As I said, I noticed that when I make my own, mm-hmm. it has a different taste.
Different feel to it.
Yeah.
It brings you some joy.
Yeah. And I when I give out my next door neighbors, like tomatoes or cucumbers or any herb or whatever, if I cut a whole bunch of it and I'll give it to them, I tell them what to do. Like I'll say, wash it, mm-hmm. put it on a sheet pan, mm-hmm. let some of the water come out of it. And then you take your string or you taught me how to do that.
Oh, how to bundle it.
And bundle it. And then that's another thing to freak you out. I have
you gotta hang it up in string.
And then I have little name tags on it.
So you know what it is.
But now I can smell it.
Yes.
And I know what it is.
I was going to say, you get to a point when you get your hands in the soil, you get to a point where, yeah, you have to label things. But once you do it long enough, you can smell it. You can look at it. You can see the leaves, and you can identify the plant.
I've gotten good like that. Now I don't use rosemary too much to cook. I don't know why, but I do have a rosemary plant, and it did grow, and I have a little bit of dried rosemary.
Okay, so what oil infusions are you putting in your ice cube trays? We talked about basil in the oil. What other ones are you
What doing? I usually do when because I don't want my dried herbs to go bad or whatever, I just put whatever I have on hand. If I got basil, if I have, because I usually keep basil, dill.
You putting dill in olive oil?
Mm-hmm. Dill.
Just what are you making?
Bit, just a little. It's just a little.
But I guess it's the flavor profile because dill is a little sour.
But I don't put as much.
Okay.
It's very, very little. Mm-hmm. So I usually put basil, Italian parsley. I love the basil and Italian. And then what I do is it's dried out. But when I cook with it, I don't just throw it in the pot. I take it with a pinch in my hand, and then
you sprinkle it out,
and then so I'm crushing it, and you can smell it even more.
Yeah, because you released whatever trapped oils were
right,
in there. Yeah,
right. So it's the basil, Italian parsley, cilantro. I use the lemon thyme. You know what? I have never used plain thyme. Never.
I mean, when your lemon time keep coming back, what you getting? Yeah. And when we say lemon time, we mean it's actually a plant called lemon time, and it has a lemon smell.
It has a lemony smell to it. I don't use that, but I always use those. What else? You made the tags for my bottles.
I do. You made fun of me for asking for a labeler.
Because it was crazy to ask for a label for
Christmas. And then Big Sis got me one, and then you said, make me these labels.
Yeah, because I was having too many, and then my labels was falling off my jars. So I had to open up the jar and
smell it to figure out what it was. The ones I made are basically the ones you had.
Cilantro, Italian parsley. Oregano. Basil.
Oregano.
The lemon thyme.
Right.
The dill.
Uh-huh.
I do have some rosemary. I don't have as much dill and rosemary.
You don't put sage in there.
No.
And when we talk sage, we're not talking white sage. We're talking garden sage.
I'm talking garden
sage. So what do you do with the garden sage?
My garden sage, and that comes back every year.
Every year.
A matter of fact, though, I noticed that she came. Notice I say she. She came back, but not as full.
Mm.
Because what I did last year is I planted regular flowers in the same big barrel that she was in. And I think she took offense to it. So she said, you will do that, so she I'm not going to come back. I think she took offense to it.
She don't got as much room.
Yeah. I had spaced it out. And at first I thought, okay, she's going to die on me. But she came through. She just is not as big. What I do with the sage is I harvest it, I cut it, and then I dry it out, I bundle it, and then I burn it.
When we say, so you, talk me through it. So you, when you say you bundle it, before we were talking about drying herbs, we would, you lay your herbs out.
I lay it out.
You let
flat,
it dry.
So it doesn't. So the water will.
Because
I'm not trying to ride it out.
Right, and then you.
I take the twine.
You take the twine or a string, and then you tie it around the stem end.
I used to tie it all the way around whatever I'm calling
the whole bundle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then hang it up. I don't.
You let it.
Now I just tie the ends and then I hang them up.
Right.
Because I think it depends on it on what it
but
is.
But when you're doing the sage. You do the whole thing.
I wrap it around the whole thing.
Right. And then you burn
it. To hold it together. And then I'll wait a couple weeks. And then I'll take it down. And I'll wait a couple more weeks. And then I'll burn it.
So why are you burning it, Ma?
I burn it to clean out my house. Whenever stuff go wrong in my house or seem like something getting ready to pop off and I'm getting ready to pop it off with it, I'll crack the window. And I'll go through that house and I'll just say in the name of Jesus, the devil will now live here and I will cleanse my whole house. Yes, I do that.
Listen, I ain't saying nothing.
And then I will, your father has a certain chair that he sits in. I will sage the heck out of that chair. I will crack the window just to get it all out.
Yeah, get the smoke.
And then once it's all out and I'm finished with the sage, then I close my window.
One of the biggest differences between you and I and our utilization of the things we make is you use yours mostly to cook with. I use mine as tools in my practice. I think the sage bundle is the only thing you and
that's
I do together.
The only one and that I don't cook with it. And you can cook with sage.
Yeah.
Just never did.
A nice roast, like some chicken
like
or
you
turkey
could put
roast.
The sage and mix it with the rosemary.
Yeah.
Never.
Make a good stuffing.
Never did.
You know.
I always burn it.
Yeah, always burn it. I think the only things I grow that I cook with was dill.
Okay.
Because I had dill and cucumbers, and I made pickles.
Okay.
And then of course the jalapeno. I was
yeah,
jalapeno and all the peppers was coming all day.
That's right. You reminded me. I do grow the green peppers.
Mm-hmm.
I do grow
green
the
bell peppers.
Jalapeno.
You grow jalapenos.
And I've noticed that you see the bell peppers in the grocery store.
They're huge.
When I'm growing them, I'm
they're
like,
little babies.
Like, why is my? But They're firmer.
They are. And
they
sweet.
Last longer. And
they're very sweet. Yeah. The jalapenos you grow, they're hot, like real hot. I was like, this ain't as hot as what I get in the store.
But it all depends, because I usually do two different kinds of jalapeno. I usually do a milder version, and then I've been known to do that one year. It was a habanero. It was hot.
I did a garden salsa one, and then I did a jalapeno. So I take the jalapeno plant. This is what I did. Because it was growing. And another thing that surprised me is if you leave it on the vine too long, jalapenos turn red. Had no idea.
It turns red.
I had no idea.
And it gets spicier.
And it gets spicier, yeah. So I pulled the jalapeno off. I started making pickled jalapenos.
Yeah, that's what I did.
My oldest nephew, his boyfriend, I literally gave him a jar of pickled jalapenos. Them things have been pickling for like two months.
That was good stuff.
He was like, oh my God. He was eating it out the jar. So I do pickled jalapenos, but also, you know how we do red pepper flake seasonings when we want some heat in our food? Okay. I scoop out the seeds.
Okay.
And then I let them dry out.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll add that to a homemade seasoning I made.
Oh.
So if I was doing a Southwest seasoning, blend. Like you would find in the grocery store, but I got all that stuff already. I don't need to make it again. I would do, a dried onion, a dried tomato bits, and then add those jalapeno seeds. And now it's so spicy. it's so spicy.
Yeah. They always, and I haven't done it yet, but instead of you buying seeds, if you have a tomato, just take the seeds and dry them out, and you can plant the seeds.
Plant the seed.
If you have a carrot, you want to cut off the top of it. Save the top, because I've done it. Put it in water, let it sprout, and you can grow
the carrots. And then put it in the ground,
Same thing with cucumbers. Anything that has a seed, why are we buying the seeds when we already got the seeds?
We already got the seeds. Another thing you like to do is, and I said to myself, I don't know if she's doing work over my father or not.
No, but not.
But you make lemonade and iced tea your mint plant.
He likes the mint. I think I did it one time just as an experiment, because I'm noticing it. I like to see if something works.
Yeah.
So I did it one time.
You mess around and find out.
I did it one time. I did not do a big batch, but what I did was, I bought in the mint, washed it, boiled the tea bags, put with the mint in it, cooled, not for about 5 or 10 minutes, just to get it strong.
Yeah.
And then let the mint and the tea from the tea bags seep.
Yeah.
So I let it sit there for another 10, 15 minutes to get all the mingling of the flavors. And then I strained it all out. Then I got mint tea. And then I took lemonade mix and combine the two together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, here, taste this. And he was like, oh, that's good. So now, every summer, the first thing he asked me is, oh, you going to make some mint?
You going some mint?
Yeah.
You going some mint? He's like, I asked you, you going cucumbers? Because I don't feel like trying to figure out. Cucumbers need a lot of sun. I don't get a lot of sun.
Right.
I can just go over your house and get some cucumbers.
They
grow real tall. Tomatoes grow tall. Cucumbers grow wide.
It'll attach to whatever you have.
Yeah.
Your grandmother asked me, did you start yet? I'm like, I haven't started yet. I said I was gonna wait until the beginning of May when the weather starts getting more consistent.
And we don't have that frost.
Right.
You can plant before frost, but then you gotta go outside, you gotta put the plastic over it, it's a lot of work.
Too much work. Yeah. And then if something dies, then I'm upset. And
it's too early in the season, you gotta start all over again.
So I'm thinking she's gonna ask for the tomato or the cucumbers, because I would send her tomatoes and cucumbers. She asked them for the okra.
That's funny.
So I have two plants with two people who fighting for okra.
Yeah. And that's the thing people don't understand. The cucumber with the tomato, you probably are growing enough to substitute buying. But a lot of times with the other thing, like the jalapenos, you got to wait. If I want a jalapeno, I can't go outside right now. those that plant, because I have it sitting right there.
You gotta wait.
It's not going not till like midsummer.
Right.
So if I need some jalapenos, I need to have made sure I grew enough last year and I dried them out or something, or pickled them or something, because I'm not going to get them till late in the summer.
Because I even had to start going to the grocery store to get jalapenos in order to make pickled jalapenos.
Yeah.
And that irritated me.
Because you know you can grow them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One of the other things I do, one thing I want to try this year, I went to went to the VA Witches Fair last year, and I bought that salve. Remember when I gave it to you?
Yeah, I
almost didn't give it to you. And
I
looked at, it's basically Icy Hot, but like a homemade Icy Hot. And I got a comfrey plant, because that's what she used it. She used that and some other things and like cayenne. But I said, I'm going to try the comfrey and the seeds from my jalapeno plant.
Oh, okay.
And I've got shea butter and I've got beeswax.
Ooh, okay.
And then some, I think there's some other things that need to go in there too. I'll figure it out. Maybe some things I can just make oils out of. And I'm going to try and make my own like healing ointment. One of the reasons why I grow rosemary, because I also don't cook with a lot of rosemary. I feel like we're Black and that's just not something we do. You know, we'll add basil, maybe add some parsley, but we don't think rosemary. When I think rosemary, I think roast or Italian.
Right.
And I don't do a lot of either of those.
Plus, I use the rosemary essential oil in my hair.
And your hair,
and
right.
My scalp.
So when you, one of the things I was doing,
it's healing. It's
very healing for your scalp. It helps to grow the hair. One of the things I was doing on that call was, I had like the last bits, because I had it dried out in my seasoning drawer. I grew it and I just poured some in my mortar and pestle and I was grinding it up and I added it to jojoba oil.
Okay.
Jojoba and argan mix is what I did.
See, I do the argan, but I do the what is it, the
black castor.
Black castor oil.
And that's good for your hair. So when we grow plants, a lot of people, because one of the jokes that my bestie's dad made was, you're growing plants and then, you know, you spent $100 on plants to get $10 worth of yield. No, because my hair oil is very expensive. Like, if I were to go out and buy hair oil, that's very expensive, you know. Why do that when I can make it? And it's not like I'm not being crafty. All you have to do is grind the herbs, put it in an amber colored or dark colored bottle with the oil, and then twist. If I need it tomorrow, then I'll put it in a double boiler and let it infuse, you know?
Right.
Same thing with the Icy Hot thing I was talking about. I mean, you know, that's a little more involved. But I do already have camphor oil. I already have cayenne. Like, I already have that stuff. I can make it.
I guess because I don't do that.
No. But, like, I want to try to, let me see what happens if I grow up myself. I also have an angelica plant out there. It's not doing very well because of the sun, I think. But I'm gonna try some new stuff. With Grace, why am I buying Grace catnip? Everybody knows that Grace is my cat. Why am I buying her catnip when I have a whole catnip plant?
I did grow the catnip. Catnip is not that hard to grow either, and
no.
It grows in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it after that season because I'm like,
what do you need catnip for?
Catnip.
If you grow it, we can eat it, and it's mostly for a tea, and it's mostly for digestion.
But I
think that's right.
I
double check me, y'all, cousin. Don't just go drink catnip tea.
No.
But I'm pretty sure you can use it for, like, if you got digestive issues, it'll help you settle your stomach.
Yeah, there's different things. I think I grew the catnip because it kept away certain
pesticides. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a
pesticide.
It's a pest. It keeps pests away. Yeah.
So that's, I was growing it for that particular purpose.
Yeah.
And not just, I said no because I'm not going to use it for anything else. Right. So I didn't grow it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do that, all that stuff in the back, and in the front, I got my rose bush.
Mm-hmm.
I have tulips that come back every year. I have this one particular. I have to cut back those leaves all the time because if not, all you see is just the leaves, and it has a pretty plant that comes out of it. They come back every year. I have a lot of plants that come back every year, like the azalea bush. Remember, we used to have a lot of azalea bushes in the front, Now I think I'm down to one. And this year, it's white. It bloomed later.
Mm. What's that bush, that yellow bush that's been there since I've been alive?
That's not a forsythia. Yeah, it's a forsythia. But remember, that's just not one bush.
It's two.
It's two of them together. And every time we think that it's dead, every time we think it's not going to come back, because that bush is probably as old as you are.
How does that bush older than me?
They come back.
So why do you do flowers in the front, herbs and vegetables in the back?
I do the flowers in the front because I like to see when I walk up the front up to the house, it's colorful. And I thought I was doing it for me. I have my next door neighbor, which she doesn't do, but she buys barrels of plants now. My other neighbor, when our old neighbors used to live there, he was a gardener. And it was gorgeous.
He was really good. He was such a good gardener. He was planting stuff in the park across the street.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. They don't take care of those plants, but they come back every year. And I noticed last year, her friend who moved in, he called himself, he was pulling out the weeds and stuff. But I get compliments because people see in the front. And I did it like that in the front, so that when I pull up, I get out the car and I walk up the steps. That's the first thing you see.
You see color. And also, going back to the beginning of this episode, you said that when it was just rocks and dirt and sadness, it reflected how you felt inside. Now it's bright and cheerful and colory and welcoming. And you the same way.
It's just, and it blooms. One plant may bloom and die, but another plant is getting ready to bloom. And then I have something, it's like it's always blooming all year long.
All year long.
And some things I have to do stuff to, some things I don't. When the weather first started turning warm, even before it was warm, I'm like, where did purple and pink tulip come from? I don't remember.
That's what happened to my mint. I was like, oh, you're not dead. Yeah. I said, welcome back, homie. You ain't dead.
My strawberries in the bag. Yeah. If I was like, I thought they were dead. No, they gonna come
dead.
Back.
They gonna come back.
It's got the white flowers on it. Cause he didn't know that either. That
the flower is the
strawberry.
Yeah, I told your oldest grandson that we'll call him B. I told B that I was trying to figure out why these flowers were flowering, and then I realized because at the time I was only used to herbs. And with herbs, when your herbs flower, you've gone too far.
Right.
You got to cut the flower off the top. Uh-huh. So that way it'll keep getting the leaves. Uh-huh, right. Because when it flowers, it's getting ready to seed. Uh-huh. And you don't want it to seed. You want the leaves.
You can cut that seed part off. And then you can make more.
Yeah, plant more.
But you don't want it to stay on the plant.
You don't want it to stay on the plant. Because the plant won't keep growing.
It won't grow.
Uh-huh. So that's why I was like, when I had vegetables, I was like, I think I did it wrong because it flowered.
Yeah.
But not thinking that when we eat jalapenos and tomatoes and whatever, we're eating the fruit of that plant. Yeah. And the fruit is what carries the seed. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. I think we hit everything, Mom. We talked about how we utilized it. We talked about some lessons we learned. Oh, what are your top three? Oh, let's get to the Reddit question, because I feel like the Reddit question is gonna basically take care of that question I was gonna ask you. So if you stay with us this far, cousin, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Please be sure to give this a like, leave a comment, and subscribe. I'm going to we've reached that portion of the podcast where I read a question from online. I scour the interwebs, I find a question. This question comes from Reddit, from the Witch Board on Reddit. It's titled Plants and Herbs. It says, hey, I've been interested in witchcraft for a while now. I'd like to start growing some plants and herbs and pots myself. It's almost like it was meant. They posted this like 8 hours before we started this. It's almost like we were meant to answer this question. What are the best ones to start with? Any advice? Best plants to start with in your garden?
The easiest ones? Any thyme plant.
So your lemon thyme, your regular thyme.
Any thyme plant, because all you need to put it in the ground, water it, give it some sun, and she just gonna do her thing.
Right.
The thing with that is you just gotta make sure you can contain it.
Yeah.
So the any thyme plant, any mint plant, it depends on what basils are. I'm not gonna say they're easy because basil, they can get it's a pest that can eat the leaves and stuff. So mainly it's the thyme, it's the mint that's easy.
She's a witch, so I would also say catnip.
Catnip is easy.
Yeah.
Sage is
garden sage is very easy.
Garden sage is very, very easy.
It's very easy to grow.
That kind of stuff.
And as long as you have enough sun, rosemary also. Because rosemary will grow into its own bush.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't do rosemary.
But those are the easiest ones to grow.
And if you're trying to start small. Start with your thyme.
Mm-hmm.
Start with your mint. Those are things that you can use, and start with the sage.
Yeah, for sure. What are our top three advices we can give this cousin who's trying to start her pot garden for her spiritual practice?
Mm-hmm. If you're going to start any kind of garden, it's trial and error. Make sure you know which direction your sun is going to come from.
Yeah. Even though it's for spiritual purposes, you still have to understand the earth. You have to understand how this thing grows. You have to understand what it needs. So, like, I would love to grow more plants on my balcony, but I literally had to pick plants that are shade plants or low or medium amount of light plants. Like, they just need, like, 4 or 5 hours of light because that's all they're going to get. I had this big behind tree in front of my apartment. I love that tree. The tree's wonderful. But my balcony's never going to see but so much sun. As opposed to where I used to live, where I was literally having to put up umbrellas because I was getting too much sun.
You can fry.
I was frying my plants, And I had to keep watering. So, like those kind of, that small stuff is important.
Because in the front of the house, the only plants and bushes that I can put in front are stuff that takes full, strong sun.
Yeah.
Because that sun comes in the front. Where in the back, it's some places it's sunny, some places it's shady.
Yeah.
So pay attention to where your sunlight comes from. Pay attention to how much space you have. You can grow that kind of stuff. Maybe not the sage, but the thyme plants and stuff. Even if you have a little window garden in a kitchen. So pay attention to your space.
And just know that when we talk about plants that will find space, like your mint, all plants grow in abundance, but mint is like aggressive about it. If you want to keep it in a small plant or pot, you have to keep harvesting.
Yeah.
That's all it is. You just have to keep harvesting it. Another thing I would say is that the element of earth, when you're dealing with the gardening and all that stuff, you cannot expect instant results.
No.
It is a slow moving element, like in how we interact with it. So it's an everyday, go outside, go look. It might not look like it's growing a lot, but does it need water? Does it need, are you talking to your plants? Is it getting enough sun? Okay, great. And then you go inside and you won't see the fruits of that labor till months later. If you're looking for instant mint catnip, it's going to grow fast. It's going to grow big. You'll get flowers like very soon. But when you get deeper into it, when you get into the vegetables,
But when it does,
it's nonstop.
You have to, because I just didn't feel good for a while towards the end of the summer, and I ended up leaving my okras on the vine too long, and it got tough because it got too big. And you literally, cucumbers, okra, they will make you hunt for it.
Yeah.
If you got to hunt underneath the plant next to it, on the ground, you got to hunt for it.
One time at the end of the season last year, you were like, I found some cucumbers.
Yeah, they were hitting up underneath.
And
it was huge.
It was as big as my forearm. It was literally like a foot. I was like, this cucumber is huge.
It was huge. And
And it didn't, you know what's crazy? Is that normally you get cucumbers from the grocery store, they rot. Give it like a week.
No, not.
But you know, that's because it got shipped and yada. So it got harvested months ago. And by the time it gets to you, you got like 3 weeks. But yeah, I had that cucumber for like 3 weeks. Like a long time. I was like, this cucumber ain't going bad yet. And I'm still cutting off of it.
I know.
At a certain point, I was like, at this point, I just can't handle more cucumbers. And they're huge. So I ended up getting a big mason jar and making pickle chips with it.
You make pickle chips with it. You got to do research. Mm-hmm. You can go on Facebook, go on Google, ask the question. People got answers. You don't have to be quote unquote, because the farmer ain't going to get the same results every year either.
No.
Some years you get tomatoes, some years you don't.
Right.
So.
For sure.
If I had a hothouse or a greenhouse that I could do during the wintertime, trust me, I would not be in a grocery store buying somebody's fruits and vegetables.
No.
That to me, I get offended every time I have to grow.
Every time I had to buy a cucumber, I was like, I could grow this cucumber. I got five flowers right now.
You squeeze in a cucumber, you go, that's not firm.
Yeah, that's not what I want. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly it. So yeah, I would tell that cousin, start small.
You gotta start small.
Be patient.
I wouldn't start with fruits and vegetables. I would start with herbs.
Herbs and flowers.
Herbs. That's what I would start with. Herbs and any kind of small flower.
Yeah.
And if you actually gonna have a garden, start with some perennials and some that come back every year.
Mm-hmm. I wanna get more house plants, but I don't get, because of that tree. I don't get enough sun coming in either. You know, so all my house plants are like my succulents, that snake plant. I do have an Arabica coffee plant in my bedroom, but it's real small and has to sit on the windowsill.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't have as much indoor plants. I think I got one indoor plant.
You used to have more. I killed one when you went on a cruise.
Yeah, you did. But yeah. And then the one indoor plant that I do have, I had to repot that, and I thought she was going to die because I thought I traumatized it because it was starting to shed because the roots was thick, and then I had to put it in a bigger pot and the whole. It's starting to come back.
Yeah,
it's starting to come back. Just remember, just like it's life. Everything has a season. It's going to grow, then it'll seem like it dies, and then it will grow again.
I talk about the solar rhythm in my podcast. I talk about that very thing, that just like how plants have a season, so do we.
Mm-hmm.
So just like we thought the plant was dead all winter and it's just sitting there doing its best, we do the same thing. We go inside, we gain a little weight, we read good books, we drink the hot chocolate, you know. And then that's why I was so excited. I think even when we went to, your auntie and I dance every Thursday, sometimes Thursdays and Saturdays at Zumba. And so, we meet the old ladies at Zumba, and I'm like, it's the spring equinox. It's time to go outside. Like, I was so hyped, even though we were still kind of coming out of winter, you know. I feel like both of us, I feel like, if you notice, we're more active outside. It's time to go outside. It's time to, like, live life, really experience the sun, sit, you go for that walk, you know, like, really take advantage of it. Yeah. And then the summer comes, we're going to be drunk at some wine. Well, you'll be drunk at some wine festival because I can't drink for the next
That's
2 years.
Fine. That's fine.
We're going to be drunk and dancing the Jerusalem dance.
Instead of driving and you being a weakling, I get to enjoy.
You get to enjoy it.
I like sitting out in the backyard, my backyard, just sitting there. The sun is on me, and I'm just sitting there, just watching the birds or watching the squirrels or just sitting there.
Having a good time. That's one of the things I like to do. And I only started doing it once because I had a balcony on my last place, but I didn't start growing plants until 1 year in.
Right.
Once I had Grace. I do that now. I sit outside. Easier now because there's not as much sun.
Right.
I sit outside and read my book. Grace will wander out next to me. I got to make sure she don't go chasing after a squirrel or something. But she'll wander out next to me. And she'll sit next to me. And we just enjoy it. To the point now where Grace will also, in the morning, I realized, remember I told you she was yelling at me this morning? It's because I didn't do the normal thing of get up, open up this door. She can go outside. She's expecting the garden. I'm inspecting the garden. she mean mugging the squirrels, I'm mean mugging the squirrels. You know, she didn't do that before. Okay, I feel like we answered that cousin's question pretty well.
Hey, start small.
Start small, be patient. Mm-hmm. Get all the stuff that you have in your seasoning cabinet right now that you're using for your practice. Go to a farm. I know Lowe's also has some pretty good stuff. If you want to go like big commercial, I would say Lowe's over Home Depot.
Yeah.
Lowe's over Walmart.
Yeah.
But if you can, it's better to go to a farm
yeah.
that has a nursery and buy. My mint plant came from a nursery. Because we're past the point now of, I mean, you can still do seedlings. You can do seedlings all year round. But you need to have a grow light. You need to do all that stuff in the house. But if you can't, go out to a farm.
I didn't have a grow light and I grew my seeds inside.
That's why I said you don't call yourself a hoodoo, but that sounds like some real magical stuff. Because I ain't ever seen a seedling grow with no light. And that's exactly what you did. You was like, well, it's fine.
If you're just starting out, don't start with seeds.
No, don't start with seeds.
Because you will be depressed.
So sad.
If it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Go to, like you say, one of the farms or go to Lowe's and buy not the big plants but the little
$3.99 ones, yeah.
And then you start like
and
that.
Start like that.
And then you will feel like, ooh, I did something good.
And it teaches you what it needs.
Yeah.
And then when you're a couple years in, like my friend, I'll call him P. I don't want to give his whole name. My friend P, he has a full homestead. I showed you photos. He got a full homestead. He got a section for plants with shadows. He got a section for plants with full sun. He has a whole section with just his peppers. He growing ghost peppers, habanero. Like, he has a full homestead, and he grows from seedlings. But he didn't start that way.
Yeah. Like, I've been noticing, and I said I might try it, where that you can grow fruit plants, peaches, that kind of stuff, in pots.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I said, I think I'm going to try one.
Give it a try. See what happens.
But if we were living in the property we have in South Carolina, you know, with all that land and stuff, oh, I would have all
full kinds garden beds, of stuff.
Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff. I'd be doing watermelons and cantaloupe. I'd never set foot in a grocery store. Never.
Okay. I think we did well. How you feel?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay.
You know, you get me started on my plants and stuff like that, and I can go.
All right, cousin, we've reached the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for staying with us for as long as you have. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. Truly. Don't they, Ma?
Yes, they do.
The element of Earth is all about, I think the lesson of it is patience. Mm-hmm. Understanding the roots of things, mm-hmm. whether it's your root or the plant's root, mm-hmm. And understanding that the world we live in feeds us, nourishes us, and we have the ability to do the same for the earth,
right.
Through talking to our plants, through going for those nature walks. If you want to collect your crystals, that's cool too. But like having an understanding of the world around you, not the social part, not the people part, but the actual physical earth around you, can be helpful, not just in your spiritual practice, but for your mental health.
Yes. Mental health is wonderful.
Getting your hands in soil, like you said, my really growing something, putting yourself into something, and then letting that put itself into you is really fulfilling. It fills your cup.
And you can do gardening anywhere,
anytime.
Anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I want to remind you that just like we have to feed those plants, you have to remember to feed your own roots, tend to your own inner garden. And that when you call for your blessings, cousin, they come in abundance.
They come back too.
Thank you guys. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Bye, Mom.
Bye.